Good morning, everyone. My name's Dave, and welcome to Insights for Health. Our topic today is cholesterol, and joining us is Hilary Chambers. Hilary is a graduate of the University of Western Ontario with an Honors Bachelor's of Science degree in physiology. She later graduated from the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine and is a naturopathic doctor in Toronto. Good morning, Dr. Hilary, and welcome to Insights for Health.
Good morning. Thank you for having me today.
So today we're talking about cholesterol, and there's that old adage, you can have too much of a good thing. That seems to apply.
It absolutely does. We always think about cholesterol as being harmful, right? But it is a good thing when we have the right amount of it, and it's really important when we have the right amount.
So in layman's terms, what is cholesterol?
Think of cholesterol just in general, sort of broad strokes, as just a type of fat. Fat is essential in our bodies for things like making all of our cells, our hormones, and for making this substance called bile, which helps us basically break down and so that we can digest fats from our diet. So cholesterol just is a type of fat the body uses for a lot of different processes, and it's essential.
Where does it come from?
There are these cycles with cholesterol. So I'm going to get a little bit sciencey here. So basically, yes, we're going to get cholesterol from the diet in part. So we think about those high cholesterol foods, red meat and eggs, and there's lots of things that contain cholesterol. Not all bad, that's for sure. We absorb those from our diet and the body uses those. But our liver also makes cholesterol. And then we cycle it through and use it for all those things we just mentioned. So liver's going to make some, we're going to eat some, and it's going to cycle into our digestive system, into the bloodstream, and we're going to sort of recycle that back into the liver again, and off we go again as this cycle kind of continues. Diet, liver, blood, where we get a little bit confused, I guess, in terms of where does it come from in the diet and all that. It doesn't just come from eating cholesterol-driven foods, right? So we're actually, because we're making it in the liver, we can make it from other things. We can make sugars into cholesterol. We can make different types of fats or in our diet. We can make those into cholesterol. So it's not strictly just from eating high cholesterol foods. And I think that's really, really important to remember that it is something that we also make in the body from the liver.
But if the liver is doing the production, then obviously then there's going to be a benefit because the liver is not going to produce something that's going to be harmful to us.
That's exactly right. There's a reason. 100% correct. So we need it for making our vitamin D, which we know is important for our bone health, for our immune system, for our mood. We also need to use that cholesterol so that we can make hormones. So specifically, the big ones would be our sex hormones, things like testosterone and estrogens, and also our cortisol hormone, which is our stress hormone that we need a certain amount of it in the body. So we use this cholesterol as a building block. And it's really, really important that we have that building block in our body so that, again, the body can function in an optimal way.
And you mentioned bile.
We need fats to break down other fats, to also make bile. And bile is going to be secreted into your digestive tract, and it's going to break up and break down, sort of emulsify is the word we use, break down the fats from our diet so we can actually digest them and absorb them and use them in our body. So bile is a really important one that we make from cholesterol as well.
And cholesterol is also important for cellular repair, isn't it?
It is. So think of all of your cells in the body like little bubbles. So the shell of it, that outer layer, is made of cholesterols and fats. If our cells are damaged, if we're repairing or we're replicating and making new ones, we always need to make sure we have enough of that cholesterol in our body so that we can use it again as that building block to make our cell walls, that shell surrounding our cells.
And I also found it interesting. I know you mentioned vitamin D. And it's what I find interesting is the combination of ultraviolet light mixing with cholesterol in our skin.
Yeah, absolutely. It's that activation is the best way that I like to explain it, that without cholesterol, we're not able to properly integrate, absorb, activate, utilize vitamin D, even if we live somewhere beautifully tropical and we're getting lots and lots and lots of sunshine, that vitamin D still might not be able to then be activated and used in the body to regulate our bone turnover and to produce our, or help with our immune system and help with our mood overall. So without cholesterol, no, all the vitamin D in the world wouldn't matter.
There's two different forms of cholesterol. Can you explain what those are?
So absolutely. The big ones that we often think about are HDL and LDL. There's triglycerides. You'll see that on your blood test if you've ever noticed that, Dave, before.
So
your triglycerides are more like your circulating fat. There's also tons of other ones that aren't necessarily tested specifically, but they're still going to be part of that total cholesterol level that you see on your blood test results. So things like, they're called VLDL and your apolipoproteins. There's lots of other ones, but let's focus in on the big ones here. So the LDL is what often we think about as, quote, bad cholesterol. So LDL is actually the majority of your cholesterol in your body. And as you've said before, you're right, our body makes it. We need it. It does. It has a purpose. What it does is it transports, it carries our fats around our bloodstream and drops it off. It's like a little delivery service. Drops it off to those cells so it can make those cellular membranes, repair those, maintain them. Drops it off to our organs, like our maybe adrenal glands, for example, to help make that cortisol we talked about before. And it's going to basically, again, be that delivery system for all those precursors and all those reasons that we need cholesterol in the first place. Then HDL, we kind of think about it again, quote unquote, as good cholesterol. What it's going to do is be part of not the delivery system, but the return system. So it's going to sort of pick up and absorb and grab onto cholesterol in the blood and carry it on back to the liver so that the liver can then repackage, reprocess, make that bile again, make that LDL cholesterol again, and off we go back through that cycle. So if the HDL is sort of that cleanup clue or that return system, that's why we think of it more as good cholesterol. But truly, they're both really, really important and necessary as part of that cholesterol cycling process.
I see that the liver is producing both. And LDL, the so-called bad cholesterol, has a major purpose. Yet they're calling it bad cholesterol as if we shouldn't have any of it. And that's not true. So what makes it bad cholesterol, or why has it been given this nickname of bad cholesterol?
A nickname is a really good way of describing about it, of thinking of it, because it is just a nickname. It's not, doesn't really capture the good side of our LDL cholesterol or why we need it. So the LDL is only considered bad if there's too much of it in our circulation, too much that, you know, more than we need. So now we've got this excess of the cholesterol called LDL, and that's when it becomes, quote, bad, unquote. That's when it becomes a problem. But up until that point, it's necessary. It's not bad. It's, again, that delivery system, that carrier for all those reasons that we need those fats. So when it's causing harm, this is because we have too much of it, and it's going to start to stick to the walls of your blood vessels. And it's going to cause a narrowing of the space of our blood vessels, so it's harder for our blood to flow around our body. We, of course, know we need that blood to circulate around our body properly. And if we have a narrowing of our blood vessels because there's deposits of cholesterol, we call it plaque, then that's going to reduce the oxygenation of our tissue. We can't get that oxygen around our bodies if our blood vessels are narrowed, or we don't get it around our bodies as easily. So this is where we start to see that increased risk for things like heart attack or stroke.
So it's not that it's so much bad, it's this ratio between LDL and HDL that seems to make the difference. Is that correct?
That's correct. It makes all the difference. This is a really important parameter that I find is often overlooked or not discussed in as much detail as I think it should be. What happens on your blood work is it's going to give this ratio. So it's actually total cholesterol. So that's going to include all of them. The other ones that we kind of mentioned that we don't look at as in-depth, but of your cholesterol to HDL ratio. And I think of it as, is the good holding down the bad? Is it balanced? So if there's too much of the LDL in the system where we're more than we can use, more than we need as that delivery system, and not enough HDL sort of soaking it up and bringing it, carrying it back to the liver so it can be recycled, then we have a higher risk of heart disease or cardiovascular disease. And so there is a number on your blood work. Take a look at it. And it's funny. There's a new reference range of what's considered, you know, acceptable or not. It used to be 5. So less than 5 is saying, yeah, your cycle is balanced. Your good is holding down the bad. But now the new guidelines are saying under 6 is acceptable as, okay, this is balanced, we're okay, that risk of heart disease is relatively low. If you want to set a more narrow reference range for yourself as what you might want to make as your goal, I would consider that having it below a 4 would be an ideal level, but that's based on, again, setting those higher standards or expectations for yourself. Again, the OHIP and the new guidelines are saying below 6.
So if your total cholesterol is 5, can your HDL and LDL still be off ratio?
Right. So your total cholesterol is a different measurement on your blood work. So this is that rate. So your total cholesterol is looking okay. So cholesterol needs to be below 5.2. And so, but the ratio is different, and the ratio needs to be below 6 for the new guidelines. So if your total cholesterol falls underneath the 5.2, you're kind of usually given your stamp of approval, but it is absolutely possible that your ratio is showing you're at increased risk because, again, that good is too low and maybe that high is a little too high. So looking at that ratio is a very effective tool for understanding that balance between, quote, good and, quote, bad cholesterols in the body and what that means for your own heart disease risk.
If we manage our dietary cholesterol, we can still have an imbalance of HDL and LDL.
Absolutely, we can. Sometimes this is due to genetics.
Yeah.
So this is a very common thing where even if you eat extraordinarily well, your weight is perfect, you exercise, everything is good, your liver is good, everything. But genetically, that cycling isn't as, I'll say, optimal as it might be for other people. We can still see that person have high levels of cholesterol on their blood test results. And it is still important. There is still too much in their system. We can also see that even if you're not eating lots of dietary cholesterol, but you're having lots of sugar or you're having an excess caloric intake, then our body has to do something with these extra sugars. It has to do something with these extra calories, and we'll often convert them into fat. And we can see that reflected in elevated cholesterol. Even if someone's having a really low dietary intake of cholesterol, if they're having too many carbs, too many sugars, too many calories in total, we can still see high cholesterol as a result.
Doctor, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we return, let's continue our conversation on cholesterol.